Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Appreciate everybody who makes this radio show part of their day. I know you've got choices. I appreciate that you're there and engaged and interested in what's going on. And maybe the show serves as nothing more than a little bit of normalcy in your regular routine. Maybe it's just, I know that this radio show is going to be on, and it's going to be on noon to 3 every day. Again, I'm broadcasting from the home studio. Our next guest, the University of Oregon's first ever men's basketball first team All-American player, Peyton Pritchard of Oregon. He always brings the heat. When he's on the show, he's always good. We had him on in high school. We had you on in high school. It's like we've seen you grown up, Peyton.
Yeah, exactly. It feels that way.
How did that feel to get, to get that news today, first team All-American?
It was, obviously, winning any award, and especially one that big is you're very thankful for it. It just shows, all the hard work you put in, it pays off. But, you're just very grateful for it.
You wanted to play more games, though, didn't you?
Definitely. As a competitor, and as well as I thought our team was clicking at the end, I thought we could do some special things. But, we got taken from that chance, but it's understandable.
How did you guys find out? Because I was in Vegas. I was probably about 15 or 20 minutes from going over to the arena for the game you were supposed to play with Oregon State. Where were you when you got the news?
We were in the hotel preparing. We were watching film on Oregon State, pregame and preparing for the game. And then, right when we were about to break and go back to our rooms to get ready, one of our assistant coaches came in and said they canceled it, and we kind of knew right there. And then once we heard that, we kind of figured that the NCAA tournament was going to be next.
Peyton Pritchard with us, first team All-American, University of Oregon, Westland High School kid. You've won at every level. You won in high school. You won before high school. You won after high school. When you have kids who come up to you now, Peyton, and they say, "Hey, what was your secret?" Is that an easy thing to help to give kids guidance and advice? What do you tell them?
I mean, honestly, all I can tell them is that I set out, I made a plan, and I stuck with it, and I knew for myself I'd have to outwork everybody. And so on days when I was tired and I didn't want to go in, or if I was hurting, I fought through that stuff, and I still went as hard as possible. And through all that, I fell in love with the grind of things. And I think I love the process and the grind more than the awards or anything like that. It's the daily things that mean the most to me and that I love the most.
Is that, because that's such a difficult thing, because you see people who are naturally talented and you just say, look, if only that person could work as hard as somebody who maybe doesn't have all that natural talent or size. And then you get a guy like you who, just in the gym all the time. And the stories I've heard, 6 a.m. dribbling that heavy basketball. Do you remember dribbling that heavy basketball?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it tore up my fingers. And I think my fingers now are so, kind of callous that they don't bleed it. They don't bleed anymore from those days. But definitely, I mean, to wake up and all that, I enjoyed every bit of it. Now, I know it was hard, some kids wouldn't want to do that, but like I said before, I kind of fell in love with it and knew doing all that, I was getting better from it. So I just fell in love with it.
the goal that you set, you made a plan and you stuck with it. Did you literally write that plan out, or was it just you had a goal and went after it?
I definitely wrote things out. I mean, even to this day, I still write things out. I heard something the other day. I was listening to a Kobe thing, and I kind of liked what he said. He said he would write like a contract or a workout plan contract, and he would like do something like that, and he'd hold himself accountable. So I always kind of clicked with me because I felt like I did something similar to that. You know, made a plan and tried to hold myself accountable to completing it through not just a week, but like a whole off season or like a couple months.
This has been such a weird year. Kobe, the coronavirus, everything canceled. And yet it's your senior year. It was supposed to be special. And yet I don't hear you pouting or feeling sorry for yourself.
I mean, definitely was, you know, the frustration and was upset at first because you can't finish out how you wanted. But, you know, eventually you got to like move on and kind of look forward to the next step. And I think that's how I'm looking at it is now. I think knowing that this end of the season is taken away from me, now I'm looking forward to the future and trying to prepare for what's next and getting ready however I can mentally and physically.
Last year you declared for the draft, you got some feedback. What did you hear and how did that change sort of what the preparation for this final season?
When I went through that process, I think the biggest thing I heard was just being consistent, how I finished the end of my junior season, the last 10 games. And teams just wanted to see that throughout a whole season. And, you know, maybe they just wanted to know that it wasn't kind of like a fluke. That was who I really was. And so I kind of took that and worked my tail off. And, you know, I was able to go the whole season playing really well. And our team was winning. So that's kind of just what I took from going through the draft process last year.
You feel like you're ready now because as I talk to some GMs, and I'm sure that, you know, you're in touch with some people, but I feel like they're saying to me, Peyton Pritchard, slam dunk NBA player. He's going to get drafted. He's going to make a roster. He's an NBA player. That's validation that maybe you have been chasing your whole life, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, it's, you know, I don't, you know, when that day finally comes true, when I hear my name and all that, that would be a special feeling. But, you know, definitely, I think for me, that's always been the biggest dream, or the biggest dream has been making it and staying and competing at a high level in the league. But one of my dreams is making it. So just hearing that stuff just makes me want to work harder.
Peyton Pritchard with us, University of Oregon, first team All-American, first men's basketball player in program history to do that. You picked Oregon. And I know it was back and forth. Oklahoma was in there for a while. What made you eventually settle on Oregon? And were you ever like tempted to look over at Oklahoma and go, well, what if? What if I had gone there?
I think as any player, when you're going through and you pick a school and, you know, you're going to have low moments at that school and you're going to, you know, think to yourself whether you maybe made the right decision or, and I think that's anybody, any decisions you make when you're at low points and, you know, you got to get through them. But I think for me, going to Oregon was definitely the best choice of my life. You know, as much as we won, the relationships I've built, you know, me and Coach Altman have became really close, and I'll just look back and know that this is probably one of the best 4 years of my life, and I wouldn't trade anything for it.
Peyton Pritchard with us. I think it's just really special for the people in the state of Oregon to have seen you play at the level you're playing. The women's team at Oregon was on fire as well. What was it like to be a basketball player on campus when basketball just across the board was so strong?
I think it was really special, especially when our girls team is, you know, as elite as they were, and the players they had like Sabrina, you know, and then Ruthie and Satu were unbelievable too. So, and then our team coming on how we did and playing really well, I think it was just a really special year for basketball in general. And then, you know, I just hope they can women and men's can build on this, and maybe hopefully we can take the titles for both.
We're playing 2-on-2, and I allow you to pick a women's basketball player, and I get to pick one. I'll take Sabrina. Who's your pick? You picking Ruthie or Satu?
That's tough. That's tough.
Nothing against either one of them. You know?
No, I mean, it depends. It depends. I mean, John, I don't know if you can guard Satu on the perimeter, and I don't know if you can guard Ruthie in the post. So
I don't think I can guard either one. I don't think I can guard either one. Doesn't matter, does it?
No, and that is tough. They're both special players.
You ever get to shoot around with Sabrina?
Definitely. You know, me and Sabrina, we've hung out like a lot outside of basketball, and we run in the same circles, and so me and her are always with each other. I mean, through these last 4 years, you know, we're good friends, and so yeah, we definitely shoot around, hang out, and all that.
It was neat to kind of look up, I think, at the beginning of this year, and I looked across college basketball, and I said, I think Peyton's the best point guard in the men's game. And then I looked, and I said, I think Sabrina's the best in the women's game. And they're both at the same school. Did you make that realization at any point?
Definitely. I mean, I think people knew Sabrina was already the best women's player, and definitely, obviously, the best guard, point guard. And for me, you know, I think I took people longer to see, but I was out to prove that. And I just think it is really special for the both of us to finish how we finish and go out as winners like that.
How do you stay now in shape and get yourself ready for, you know, an NBA draft and then a subsequent season when you have all this distancing stuff going on?
You know, you find ways around it. I mean, luckily here in West Linn, we have good hills. I can always, I'll start waking up again in the morning and doing ball handling and stuff like that, and jump rope, and then running, and then, you know, obviously finding basketball gyms might be a little tough. So we'll find other areas, I guess, to work on my game.
I guess that's never been a problem for you because, you know, take me back to high school. You score like 38 against Lake Oswego, and the next morning you're in the gym by yourself, and the custodian says Peyton's in there shooting baskets. Like, you've always kind of been on your own, haven't you?
Definitely. I feel like I thrive on success and stuff like that. So once I get a little taste of it, I want more and more and more. So, through this whole season, I think it keeps on pushing me to keep going further and seeing how far I can take it.
Peyton, I really appreciate you making time for us. I wanted to congratulate you personally. I think, you know, we've all seen you have success, and it's neat to see the rest of the country recognize that a kid from our state and who stayed in state is among the best five players in the country and certainly the best point guard. So congrats, man.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll get that 2-on-2 game at some point. All right.
definitely.
All right. Stay safe. Say hi to your family. I appreciate you, man.
Same. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. There's Peyton Pritchard, University of Oregon guard. Judah, let's handicap that 2-on-2 game. I was kind of hoping he would pick Ruthie.
Yeah.
Because I just think I would match up better with her than Satu. I don't think on the perimeter. I think Satu would put the ball on the floor, and I'd have big problems. Because I've got Sabrina on my team. I'm on offense. I'm just setting screens.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the thing though. Ruthie, one of the things that makes her so special is that she can get a shot up from any angle and find the right place on the window. And it just, she makes it every time. She had that ridiculous streak last year. She's a scoring machine down low, John. It's really a tough scenario for you there, my friend.
We probably lose, but I've got Sabrina on my team, and Sabrina's a competitor. So I, you know, know, I just...
Yeah, you and Peyton, that's pretty much a wash, right? You guys both, you know, super good athletes.
I'm not guarding Peyton. Sabrina's guarding Peyton. I'm standing on the low post with a forearm against Ruthie's shoulder. That's my position on defense.
Dude, I tell you what, though, Ruthie, like, she's a badass, man. Like, she's got the knee pads and the elbow pads. Like, man, I don't want to mess with her.
You know when we're in trouble? Because in a 2-2 game, this is where we would be in trouble. Peyton has the ball. Ruthie comes to set a screen on Sabrina.
Are you switching?
Now we switch.
John, you're like, fight.
All hell breaks loose at that point. Because at that point, we've got a problem. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So
you're like, I'm fighting through it.
Because now either Ruthie is posting up Peyton or Peyton's alone with me on the perimeter, or Ruthie is posting up Sabrina. That's a big problem.
Watch those ankles, man.
That's why we're not playing this game.
Reflex.
Maybe I'll play horse. We'll stick to a game of horse. All right. I want you to leave it right here. Punch It Audio is coming up. We got the best sound from all around. I love that interview with Peyton Pritchard, in part because I remember interviewing him when he was a high school kid. And he was incredibly mature as a high school kid, but he was still a high school kid. Now he's a grown-up, leaving college, his final year of eligibility. He'll head to the NBA draft. He will be drafted. He will make a roster, and he will stick in the NBA. He's a guy who's going to stick. He's going to play. I loved his advice that he would give for kids who want to play basketball. He said, I think all I could tell them is that I set out, made a plan, and stuck with it. I knew I would have to outwork everybody, and on days I didn't feel my best, I still went as hard as possible. I loved the process and the grind. I enjoyed every bit of it. I know it was hard. Some kids wouldn't want to do that. Think about that. Think about, I always say, you know, it's easy to go to the gym, or it's easy to go for a run, or it's easy to ride the bike when you feel your best. Everyone can do it when the weather is sunny and you feel energetic and you're like, wow, I just got a good night's sleep. I feel amazing. You know, anybody can do that. The days when you really win are the days when you aren't at your best. Maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep. Maybe you don't have the energy and you still get out there and you get the workout in, or you get the run in, or you ride the bike. And at the end of it, you're like, I mean, back me up here. Aren't those the workouts and the days where you like nod your head and go, yeah, I won the day, or I won that one. Those are the ones that set you apart. And I think what he's talking about is very internal. I know as a young college student, I had a great English teacher, English literature class. And I had this teacher who was very eccentric. He would circle us up and he would give us life lessons. And I can remember him talking about the themes that exist in literature and man versus nature, man versus man. But the biggest one is man versus himself. That's one we live with every day. Because every day for you and me, and especially when things are not rosy and easy like they are right now in our country and in the world, we have a pandemic going on, that man versus himself struggle, it's a bitch. Like literally, some of you are tired, some of you are discouraged, some of you, and these are the days, like if you can channel your inner Peyton Pritchard on a day like today and go, look, this is a guy who made a plan and stuck with it. This is a guy who knew he had to outwork everybody. This is a guy on a day when he wasn't at his best or didn't feel his best, still went hard. This is a guy who fell in love. He used that terminology. I fell in love with the process and the grind. You have to love it. If you're going to be in it and immersed in it, you got to enjoy it a little bit. But we're all in a constant struggle with our limitations. I have limitations. You have limitations. You're in a constant battle against your own limitations. It's man versus himself. Man versus nature, that happens. You climb the mountain. You get through the snowstorm. Man versus man, we see that all the time. It's on television. It's tug of war. But man versus himself, that's an internal struggle. That's a struggle you can have without lifting a finger. That's a struggle you can have just, you know, sitting wherever you're sitting right now. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're driving. I don't know if you are at home, wherever you may be. That's a struggle that's real, and win it. Peyton Pritchard won it, and that's why he is where he is today. And the underlying thing in this whole Peyton Pritchard story is that he really is. We hear the terminology self-made player all the time. Oh, he's a self-made player. This guy's self-made. But the truth is, when you look across sports, you see incredible athleticism at all levels. But I look at Peyton Pritchard, who is a pretty good athlete. He's a little undersized, but he's a pretty good athlete. By NBA standards, I'm talking. But the thing that sets him apart is he just outworks everybody. In the gym all the time, working hard, scores 38 in a high school game, and the next morning at 6 a.m., the custodian hears somebody dribbling a ball at the gym. How'd he get in? I don't know, but he got in. And he beats everybody to work, and then he outworks everybody. He had bleeding hands. His high school coach, Eric Vukla, told me that as a freshman, here's Peyton Pritchard as a freshman in high school, comes into the situation where there were upperclassmen at his high school who were intent on having their own success their junior and senior years, who suddenly were dealing with a freshman who was insane when it came to work ethic, to the point where Peyton Pritchard had to tape his hands at practice in high school when he was a freshman because his hands were bleeding. And the coach asked him, you know, why are your hands bleeding? It's because he was getting up at 5:30 in the morning. He had bought a weighted basketball, heavy basketball, like almost medicine ball basketball. And he was dribbling it for hours. Dribbling, 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 make his hands stronger, make his forearms stronger, make it so when he had a basketball in his hands, maybe he had more control and strength. And Peyton Pritchard dribbled that basketball until his hands bled. Think about that. Make a plan. Stick with it. Then go outwork everybody. That is a recipe for success that is not very complicated. I mean, just think about it. Come up with a plan. Stick with it. Then go outwork everybody. And when you don't feel your best, still go hard. Because those are the days at the end when you're going to look back and you're going to go, you know what? That wasn't easy. And I fought through it. It's so valuable. I mean, there's life lesson, life coaching 101 from Peyton Pritchard. It's terrific stuff. And I know I make fun of you know, this show is a diversion from your normal life. And, hey, we're going to make you laugh and we're going to make you think and... you know, you're going to be better looking because you listen to this show, and you're going to be smarter. You're going to be more grounded. We say all of those things. But ultimately, the bottom line is sometimes we give you the secret to, your own path. And Peyton Pritchard just laid it out so beautifully. I don't even know if he knew that he was giving it. But as he said it, I wrote it down. Make a plan. Stick with it. Outwork everybody. And when you don't feel your best, still go as hard as you possibly can. And he said some kids wouldn't want to do that. Truth is, most people don't want to do that. That's why it would set you apart. Leave it here. Punch It Audio is coming up. We have all the best sound from all...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.